Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing the importance of feeling good. So as a childhood victim of narcissistic abuse myself, I spent years struggling with depression, anxiety, fear, and living in shame. I didn't even know it was possible to feel good. In fact, feeling good, feeling happy, besides for being something which was very foreign to me and seemingly impossible, it also felt very selfish and something that was very not normal, almost as if suffering was okay and even ideal. So as an adult, after years of doing the healing work, I can look back and see how off this was, how bizarre it is that I felt this way and thought these things, and how distorted my idea of healthy and normal living was. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss why it is so important, why it is so vital to feel good. I want to talk about why this is important for our mental health, our self-esteem, our relationship health, as well as our ability to manifest our most abundant life. And finally, I want to talk about, I'm going to offer some tips on what we can do when we feel down, depressed, and when feeling good feels unattainable. What could we do to feel good again? So before we begin today's episode, I want to suggest a really great book. It's called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy. It's a book by David D. Burns. So Dr. David D. Burns, through his book Feeling Good, he popularized Dr. Aaron Beck's cognitive behavioral therapy, otherwise known as CBT, and this has helped millions of people combat feelings of depression and develop greater self-esteem. This was quite a lengthy book, but definitely worth the read, as it was loaded with very important and tangible information to help you combat depression and anxiety, as well as really master your mind and your mindset to be able to align it with happiness, peace, and abundance on all levels. So I'm going to share the link to purchase that book in the description section below. Highly suggest check it out. It's, like I mentioned, I think it's a 700 pages or so, but definitely worth the read. So to begin, one of the most important fundamental truths that David Burns described in Feeling Good in his book is this idea that our thoughts lead to emotions. So in essence, our thoughts create emotions. He explains that when we feel negatively, it's because our thoughts are pervasively negative. If we were to, let's say, correct our thinking, then we would subsequently feel good. We'd feel positive. So based on this, we can see that it really is up to us to decide how we are going to feel, because we get to decide what thoughts to choose and what to fill our mind with. We have the ability, in essence, to choose negative or positive thoughts that will subsequently lead to negative or positive emotions. So why is it important to feel good? Obviously, we'd all rather feel good than feel bad. Naturally, we will look for ways to feel good when we do not feel good. However, why is it important to feel good? Why is it vital to work towards feeling good? So to answer this, it's important to clarify beforehand that feeling negatively doesn't mean we are failing to do something right. It doesn't mean we are doing something wrong. What it means is that we are not necessarily in the ideal state to be in. And in essence, it is in our best interest to do the work, to work towards balancing our emotions and to work to feel good. It's not necessarily that feeling negative is a problem, but rather it's what we do with these feelings that determine if we are going to continue to stay in a negative space or we are going to be able to shift our moods and transform our negativity into positivity, into feeling good. So feeling good is the natural state of the human condition. Feeling good is, in essence, an indication of inner balance, of peace, of equilibrium. So feeling good is an indication that we are living whole and balanced lives. Negative feelings and pain are indicative that something is off, something is not right, and something that needs our attention for balancing, for healing, for correcting, and for repair. So we want to feel good because this is a healthy state to be in. So it's important to be healthy. It's important to be balanced. So when we are feeling good, we know that we have reached the optimal state of being. In addition, our emotions are going to influence our perceptions and the way that we view ourselves, other people, and life itself. So when we feel negatively, let's say depressed, fearful, and ashamed, we are going to begin to see the world through a negative and faulty lens. And regardless of how much we know that life is intrinsically good, through this faulty lens, the world is going to appear negatively. So with this negative view of the world, this negative perception, we are then going to make decisions based on these viewpoints. We're going to take actions that are negative and they're not, that are not necessarily aligned with who we are, with our highest self, i.e. feeling good. Example of this would be, let's say an addict, right? Someone who's addicted to something, has addictive habits, is usually at the root of it is because they have a negative self-view, which is rooted in feeling negatively about ourselves. So usually we feel ashamed of who we are. So in an attempt to feel good, to correct this negative self-view, and then to ultimately feel good again, the addict or the addicted individual is going to look to use a drug of choice to, let's say, get high, right, and achieve pleasure, which then elevates the mood and makes them feel good. So in this state, they then feel good again. As a result of feeling good, their perceptions of themselves is going to then turn positive, and they are going to see themselves and the world positively. And this does seem to solve the issue that, let's say, feeling negatively and thinking negatively originally caused. And while this might solve the issue short term, this is not sustainable because, as we all know, the drug of choice will eventually wear off, and then we are going to feel negatively again and back to our original issue, which is feeling negatively and thinking negatively and therefore viewing ourselves through a negative lens, thinking of ourselves negatively. So the importance of feeling good begins with the acknowledgement that we cannot feel good sustainably by running away from our pain and from our negative thoughts. We can only feel good by accepting and acknowledging the root of negative emotions, which, according to David Burns, is a negative mindset. It's our negative thought forms. So when we work with our negative mindset, which includes dismantling any negative core beliefs, working to have positive self-talk, shifting from low conscious to high conscious paradigms of thinking, by thinking thoughts of compassion, forgiveness, gratitude, and by choosing to think positive thoughts, we in essence are going to develop a positive mindset. And this positive mindset is going to lead to positive emotions, and the positive emotions essentially is going to have us feeling good. Furthermore, when we are going to meet negativity with presence, with present moment awareness, which in essence is being able to absorb our negativity with compassion and be able to meet it with forgiveness and gratitude, and high vibrational thought forms, the negativity is naturally going to turn into positivity. So what we don't want to do is battle the negativity. We don't want to deny it and fight against it, but rather we want to accept it and meet it where it's at by being present and being observing with compassion and being positive ourselves. And when that happens, when we are in that state, the negativity that we are experiencing will naturally become positive. Positivity is much stronger than negativity. So by meeting it with our positivity, the negativity really just dissolves and has no chance to sustain itself. Now, many of us were raised in a negative fear and shame-based homes, low conscious homes. And growing up, we were pervasively filled with negativity, negative thought forms, negative core beliefs, negative programs. And all these things make it difficult to think positively and as a result, feel good and be happy. And in homes like this, you really only know negativity and find that even though it is not a happy mindset to exist in, because it's familiar to us, we find it comforting, and we oftentimes continue our lives into adulthood with the same way of thinking, the same mindset. And this is what makes healing and recovery difficult, because in some ways we find happiness, joy, peace, and bliss to be awkward, to be uncomfortable, to be foreign, and therefore something we aren't attracted to. In essence, we have been wired to avoid positivity, seeing it as awkward, strange, unsustainable, and fleeting experiences that don't necessarily last. Now, the issue is that if we spend too much time feeling negatively, if we sort of normalize it, eventually we start to just assume that this is the way it is, and this becomes problematic for many reasons. We're going to start to have a very pessimistic worldview. We'll start to view the future negatively. We'll see ourselves negatively, maybe as ugly, as unworthy. And all of these are inaccurate ways of thinking that really keep us stuck in a very fear-based mindset, a doom and gloom way of thinking, of living. And because we've normalized it, it's so normal to be negative, we believe that this is the only way to operate, and we don't even necessarily think that there's a problem with it, and we certainly don't believe that happiness is even possible or something that we want to pursue. In essence, we get so used to negativity and we normalize it that we come to believe that this is simply the only way to live. And this makes it harder to believe in the possibility that positivity, feeling good, and happiness is possible. Now, when it comes to the law of attraction, manifestation, the law essentially is that like attracts like. So when we are going to think negatively and subsequently feel negative emotions and think negative thoughts, then we're going to attract people, situations, and experiences that reflect those mental and emotional states. And this is why it is so important to work on our mindset to be positive, to focus on the good that we already have in life, and appreciate and show gratitude for what we have, because these things will bring more of that into our lives. So the mindset that we want to have is positivity, gratitude, and acceptance for what we have. And when that happens, we will attract more abundance, because like attracts like. So we are going to attract healthy relationships, abundance on all levels of all sorts, when we align our mindset and our emotions with that specific frequency, with those specific things. So while feeling good is important, obviously it's important to feel good, it's impossible to feel good all the time. No one feels good all the time. And the goal is not to just feel good all the time. The goal is to understand the role of our emotions, and our specifically our negative emotions, and use them to give us the feedback we need and the messages that we need to hear and that they're trying to communicate to us. So the goal is to feel all of our feelings without letting them, let's say, dictate their meaning and allowing them to control us, control what we think, what we do. And by doing this, we're going to assure that we don't become slaves to our thoughts and feelings, but rather we can use them to make the necessary changes in our lives. So we can choose how to react to our feelings and thoughts. And if they are negative, if they are pessimistic, we can curb them into positivity as soon as possible, which will then ultimately cause us to feel good. So if we are wounded, many of us have been wounded, and what happens is that we become very reactive to our feelings. We almost believe everything that we feel, we believe everything we think, and you can say that we are just controlled or enslaved by our feelings or by our thoughts. So when we are so quick to believe our thoughts and feelings, we'll often just fight our own minds. We'll create battles in our own head trying to fight off the negativity. We will challenge other people or defend against them and go to great lengths to do so. Even if our own thoughts lack common sense, and even if ourselves, we've never challenged our negative thinking as to their truthfulness, but because this is sort of the way we are with our thoughts, we become our thoughts, we become our feelings, we are very reactive to them. Oftentimes, what we end up doing is we end up having a very difficult time separating ourselves from our thoughts, from our feelings, with the ability to observe them. And this is really where observing with compassion our own thoughts and feelings becomes a game changer. See, if you struggle with high reactivity towards your own negative thoughts and feelings, you may want to ask yourself some of the following questions the moment that you notice your reactivity and as soon as you notice negative thoughts and feelings taking you over. First thing you may want to ask is, what feeling am I feeling in this particular moment? Do I notice some of the immediate thoughts that are associated with these feelings? Is it possible that I am misunderstanding or misinterpreting my current life experiences based on how I feel and what I'm thinking? What steps can I take to work with the negative emotions I'm experiencing to balance them and turn them into positive emotions? So these are some of the questions you may want to ask. And by asking them, you'll be able to challenge the narrative, the story that we buy into so quickly, and realize that there are in fact emotions that fuel, there are thoughts that fuel emotions. And in essence, if we could challenge the thinking and we allow ourselves not to be immediately seduced by our thinking and by our feeling, we'll be able to transmute the negativity into positivity, which would then change how we feel, how we view things, and thus make changes to our lives that align with positivity. Now, in addition, if you find yourself defending a certain viewpoint, in essence, becoming your thoughts or becoming your beliefs and identifying with them as who you are, if you're feeling negative emotions regarding someone challenging your specific viewpoints, you may want to ask yourself some of the following questions. In what way is my identity wrapped up in my specific viewpoints? What about the other person's perspective am I fearful of entertaining? What pain and negative emotions would I have to face if I was in fact wrong? Is there something that I don't know that I could learn from the other person? In what ways do my negative thoughts and negative emotions prevent me from truly listening to the other person's point of view and expanding my ability to learn and grow? So questions such as these, such as the ones above, are really vital to challenging the validity of our own negative thoughts and negative emotions. And we often cling to these negative ways of thinking as if they are true, but often they are simply viewpoints that we have held since childhood that have never really been challenged, and because of which we identify with them and as if they are true, and in many ways they could be holding us back from really growing. And many of these views that we defend and we fight for, that we call fact, are often leading to negative personal experiences such as negative self-views or low self-esteem, high reactivity, defensiveness, and they are ultimately keeping us disconnected from our true authentic selves and being able to connect with other people in an authentic way. So it is important, so important, to challenge your own thought patterns and work to shift them into healthier and more positive ones. By doing this, you will be able to shift your moods, your emotional field, and your relationship to yourself will enhance itself, will be better, in making life much more peaceful, enjoyable, and joyful for yourself, and then subsequently for those who are in your life, making for healthier and more positive relationships. So to conclude, there's a big difference between pain and suffering. Right? Pain is inevitable. We're going to have to go through pain as human beings. Growth as human beings is going to demand pain. Suffering, however, is a choice. Suffering comes from a faulty way of thinking, a faulty, negative, sort of victim and fear-based mindset. It comes from seeing the pain through a negative and faulty lens. It comes, in essence, from not listening to and understanding the message our pain is coming to teach us. It comes from resisting the information that our pain is trying to teach us, resisting the flow of life, which it happens because, in essence, we are seeing the pain as a problem, as an issue, as the enemy, and not as necessary feedback. So to suffer is to have a faulty mindset, a faulty thought process, and to be reactive to how we think and feel. So what does it mean to heal? It means to have a healthy thought process that's filled with clarity, awareness, truths, positivity, hope, peace, compassion, and forgiveness. And this is how we feel good regardless of what's going on around us. When we choose to think and feel positively, we can choose the mindset we live with, and thus we get to choose to be happy regardless of how disappointed, hurt, or how many mistakes we've made in the past, or regardless of what happens to us in life. We get to choose the thoughts in which we look at ourselves and life and other people with, and as a result, we get to sort of identify which lens we look at, which allows us to either react to life situations with positivity or negativity. So we have the power to choose, and if we choose to have a mindset and to choose thoughts that are positive, the lens we view the world with, and ultimately the decisions we will make, will be aligned with positivity, which will then cause us to feel much better. And when we feel better, we do better, we think better, and ultimately we are easier to get along with, our relationships are enhanced. And this is why it is so important to not just allow ourselves to feel negatively when we find ourselves in a negative mood. It's so important to fight that and realize it's not normal. It's not usual to just be in pain and suffering your whole life. It's important to do what you can to shift your mindset and to work to develop a healthy mindset and to feel good so that you can live a life that is based on peace, abundance, happiness, one that attracts those very things into your life. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.